Between the kitchen and the destroyed chapel, a door led into an oval-shaped library. The space inside seemed safe except for a large hole at portrait level in the far wall, caused by a mortar shell attack on the villa 2 months earlier. The rest of the room had adapted itself to this wound, accepting the habits of weather, evening stars, the sounds of birds. At the far end were French doors that were boarded up. If they had been open, she could have walked from the library to the loggia, then down 36 penitent steps past the chapel towards what had been ancient meadow, scarred now by phosphorus bombs and explosions. The German army had mined many of the houses they retreated from, so most rooms not needed, like this one, had been sealed for safety, the doors hammered into their frames. She knew these dangers when she slid into the room, walking into its afternoon darkness. She stood conscious suddenly of her weight on the wooden floor, thinking it was probably enough to trigger whatever mechanism was there. She pulled out the last of the Mohicans, and even in this half-light was cheered by the aquamarine sky and lake on the cover illustration, the Indian in the foreground. And then, as if there was someone in the room who was not to be disturbed, she walked backwards, stepping on her own footprints, for safety, but also as a part of a private game, so it would seem from the steps that she had entered the room, and then the corporeal body had disappeared. She closed the door and replaced the seal of warning. Their Italian hill town, sentinel to the northwest route, had been besieged for more than a month. It was the last stronghold of the German army. When the Allies finally took over, the villa was turned into a hospital. She and the Englishman had insisted on remaining behind when the other nurses and patients moved to a safer location in the south. During this time they were very cold, without electricity. Some rooms faced onto the valley with no walls at all. She would open a door and see just a sodden bed huddled against a corner, covered with leaves. Doors opened into landscape. Some rooms had become an open aviary. There were few beds left. She herself preferred to be nomadic in the house with her pallet or hammock, sleeping sometimes in the English patient's room, sometimes in the hall, depending on temperature or wind or light. She was 20 years old and mad and unconcerned with safety during this time, having no qualms about the dangers of the possibly mined library or the thunder that startled her in the night. She entered rooms that had been soiled by soldiers, rooms whose furniture had been burned within them. She cleared out leaves and shit and urine and charred tables. She was living like a vagrant, while elsewhere the English patient reposed in his bed like a king. From outside, the place seemed devastated. An outdoor staircase disappeared in midair, its railing hanging off. Their life was foraging and tentative safety. They used only essential candlelight at night because of the brigands who annihilated everything they came across. They were protected by the simple fact that the villa seemed a ruin. But she felt safe here, half adult and half child. Coming out of what had happened to her during the war, she drew her own few rules to herself. She would not be ordered again or carry out duties for the greater good. She would care only for the burned patient. She would read to him and bathe him and give him his doses of morphine. Her only communication was with him. She picks up the notebook that lies on the small table beside his bed. It is the book he brought with him through the fire, a copy of the histories by Herodotus that he has added to, cutting and gluing in pages from other books or writing in his own observations, so they are all cradled within the text of Herodotus. She looks up from the book and sees his eyes on her. He begins to talk across the darkness. "The Bedouin were keeping me alive for a reason. I was useful, you see. Someone there had assumed I had a skill when my plane crashed in the desert. I am a man who can recognize an unnamed town by its skeletal shape on a map. I have always had information like a sea in me, so I knew their place before I crashed among them. And here, though I was in dry sands, I knew I was among water people.